Welcome to the Victory World Outreach Podcast. We pray this message brings encouragement and inspiration to your life.
Well, I want to not take long tonight. I want to give us time to pray and let you get out of here and beat the snow. Thank you, Pastor Paul, for this opportunity to preach. It's an honor. And I know I've got a word from God tonight. If you want to turn over to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to get there in just a couple minutes. You can keep your finger there. But tonight we have this opportunity. You know, we were here, if you were here on Sunday, you heard an excellent message by Pastor Paul on the presence of God and how when we go out of this place, God's presence stays with us and needs to go with us. But how many can be honest? You don't need to raise your hands, but you can be honest and go between Sunday and now, I've messed up a little bit. Maybe it's you. It could be a big sin. Could be that you just got distracted. It could be that you're just tired, whatever. You know, we live life. We're real people. And tonight is a great opportunity for us to get back to where we need to be, to refocus, to aim at back at the target that we need to aim. Amen. And I want to read you this excerpt from this little piece of a devotion from My Utmost for His Highest. This is from March 17th. We might have it. Perfect. And it says, 2 Corinthians 5:9, we make it our aim to be well-pleasing to Him. We make it our aim. It requires a conscious decision, an effort to keep our primary goal constantly in front of us. It means holding ourselves to the highest priority year in and year out. And I would add day in and day out. Not making our first priority to win souls or to establish churches or to have revivals, but seeking only to be well-pleasing to Him. It is not a lack of spiritual experience that leads to failure, but a lack of working to keep our eyes focused on the right goal. So it's not that you don't know enough that makes us fail. It's that we don't keep our eyes where they need to be, and that's on Jesus. Amen. At least once a week, examine yourself before God to see if your life is measuring up to the standard He has set for you. Well, guess what? We're here again this week. This is that once a week. And if you come on Sunday, you get twice a week. And if you come to 9 and 11, you get three a week. Praise God. And so I want to just take a moment to talk about basically what happens when our aim is off. What happens when we do lose focus? I titled this message, Aim to Please. Aim to Please God. There is something that happens. Sometimes we think we get a little bit off track and we think it's not that big a deal. And in the long run, you know, we're here in church, you're saved, but there are some things that happen, and there's a reason that the devil is constantly trying to pull us off track and to get our minds off of God. And I want to just point a few of those out tonight. First of all, when we lose focus or we lose our aim, it causes us to miss God. Very simple. It causes you to miss God, and it does that in a couple of ways, okay? Number one, it causes you to miss how good you have it. It causes us, when we get our eyes off of God, we forget how good we have it. And there's a story about this in Luke chapter 15. You don't have to turn there, but it's the story of the prodigal son. And you probably have heard the story that this young man goes to his father and he says, I'm leaving. Give me my inheritance. Give me what's mine. I'm leaving your house and I'm going to go do my thing. I'm going to go live my own life. And the father gives him his money. And if you know the story, he goes and he lives like a wild man, does all the pleasurable things of life until he runs out of money and his friends desert him. And it's interesting to me that it's not until he was sitting, the Bible said he ends up in a pig's pen in the mud. And you've heard the sermons about it. He's sitting there in the mud. It's not until that moment that something clicks in his mind and he goes, you know what? What am I doing here? I had it really good at my father's house. I had it really good back when I was living in the safety and the comfort of my father and of my father's house. It wasn't until his life got messed up and he got off track that there was some clarity that came and he realized I made a mistake here. That's when he began to realize how good he had it. And I just think, as I was writing this, I began to think of what God has done in my life. That's what something we should do tonight is just begin to think. Think about those of you that are saved when God first saved you. When he first really got a hold of your life. He took your sins away. He canceled the record of everything that you've done and took the guilt. He took burdens. Some of you felt burdens come off of your life. Some of you suddenly didn't need cigarettes, didn't need alcohol. You were free from drugs. You were suddenly faithful to your spouse. Whatever the case is, something amazing happened in your life that could only be explained by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. It's an amazing experience. So how is it possible that people could leave church or not leave church, leave God, have their relationship with God grow cold and all of a sudden they're distant? And many people are just like this prodigal son sitting in a pig pen of sin. And they think, how did I get to this place? Well, one of the reasons is we take our focus off of God and we forget how good we really have it. And you know, if you are here tonight, and maybe, and I don't mean to in an insulting way, but there are times when we come in and if we're honest, we're just not expecting much. Like, hey, I'm going to come in. I hope when I pray that God touches me. I don't expect anything stupendous. It's a midweek Wednesday night service. But let me tell you something. If that's how you came in tonight, when we get down to pray, you need to get on your knees and begin to think of what God has done for you and make that your prayer. Just begin to name it out loud. God, you saved me. Thank you. God, you gave me a wonderful spouse. Thank you. And you just begin to name those things, and this is not some Tony Robbins motivational thing. This is you waking your spirit up and saying, look at how good I have it because I'm in God's house. And that's how maybe you're not going to start your prayers powerful, but you'll end them powerful. That's how time begins to fly. And you go, how did I pray for this long? How did God move in me on a Wednesday night? It's because we put our eyes back on God and it reminds us how good we have it. Amen. The second thing that it does, it causes us to miss the strength that God wants to give you. God wants to give you strength tonight. If you came in tonight and you're weak spiritually, you're drained, you're tired, you feel like you don't want to serve God anymore, you know what? God has a strengthening for you. He has something that he wants to do in your life. And the devil doesn't like that. And I want to show you this, that if you look at the story of the prodigal son, I could preach a whole sermon about how that father received the son back. He welcomed him back with open arms. If you read the story, the son didn't even make it home. The father ran and met him and hugged him and loved him. Think about what a normal person would have done. A punk teenager that you support leaves your house, curses you on the way out, and now he's crawling back because he ran out of money. Do you think any of us really would welcome them back with open arms? But think about the love of the Father. You know, that's what God's willing to do for you tonight. That's in the Bible for a reason. It's showing the nature of God that you might be in a pig pen. You might come in tonight and feel like dirt. And the reason you don't feel like you can pray is because how can I pray after everything I've done? God is like this father. He's got open arms and he restored that son. The Bible says he put a ring on his finger. He didn't make him a servant. He brought him back as his son. He backed that guy. He backed that prodigal son when no one else would. That's the God that we serve. That's what God wants to do for us. He wants to strengthen you. He wants he doesn't want you to leave in guilt. He wants you to leave encouraged, set free again. Amen. Back on the right track. And that's what God is ready to do for us. But you know, the devil wants to steal that from you tonight. The devil is also at church tonight, and he's thinking, whatever I can do over this next 30 minutes to keep them from realizing what God wants to do, that's the devil's strategy. He did it to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is tempted in the desert. And we know Jesus has been fasting and praying, and he's facing a lot. And the devil comes to him, and one of the things the devil does, if you read it in Matthew 4, is he says, if you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdom of this world. What he was saying is, Jesus, you cannot obey God. You can choose not to do it the way God wants you to do it and still get what you want. Is that not what the devil does to us? You don't got to go to church. You don't have to pray. You can do things your own way, and everything's going to be fine. You're going to get exactly what you want. Thank God that Jesus kept his aim and kept his eyes on God and said, that's not what I'm here to do. I have a purpose. I have a plan. God has a plan. I'm sure in that moment, he was just trying to muster enough strength to resist that. And then you go to the end of the story, and it says, the angels came and refreshed him. God was preparing to refresh him. God had those angels sent ready to refresh Jesus, but the devil came before it happened and tried to thwart what God was doing. Could it be that the devil's doing that to you tonight? Could it be that the devil just wants you to not get anything out of this service because God's got something amazing that he wants to do in your life? It's very possible. Amen. God was planning to refresh Jesus. He's planning to refresh us, to equip you. He doesn't want you to be hurt, to be tired, to feel like you want to quit. He wants to strengthen you. Amen? It's been his strategy all along, and it's the same against us. But the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, not ours. Amen? That's what we're here to do. God, I'm seeking your kingdom. I'm here tonight. I'm tired, but God, speak to me. Refresh me. Devil, I don't care what you say. God, I'm looking to you, and he'll do it. He's not going to keep you. You're not going to come up short tonight if you ask God. We just have to remember we're reliant on him. We're reliant on him. So it causes us to miss God in those ways. The other thing that getting your focus off of God causes is it'll cause you to miss people. God has people that he wants to use you to reach. But if we are so focused on ourselves and our own stuff, we miss people. We miss opportunities. And that's what we're here to do. The Bible doesn't just say to love God. You might love God with all your heart. You might be so excited to talk to God. There's another part of our walk with God that a lot of people might miss. We are also called to love people. It says, if you look with me there in Romans chapter 13, if you've turned there, verses 8 through 10, it says, owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. If you love your neighbor, you will fulfill the requirements of God's law. For the commandments say, you must not commit adultery, you must not murder, you must not steal, you must not covet. These and other such commandments are summed up in this one commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to others, so love fulfills the requirements of God's love, of God's law, excuse me. So we have to love people. That's what we're doing here as a church, is we're trying to get the gospel to people that are hurting and also be refreshed because we're hurting while we're doing it. Amen? But it's not all about us. I could have you turn to your neighbor and say, it's not all about you, but we already did that recently. But it is not about us, amen? 1 Corinthians, look at this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1 says, we know that all of us possess knowledge. I love that that's in quotes. All of us possess knowledge, but this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And then I like it how it says it in the New Living. While knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. That one hit me in between the eyes. Amen. We get so, and I think Pastor Paul or somebody just talked about this recently. We get so wrapped up in some of these preachers on YouTube or on TikTok or even people, not just on social media, but we get so fascinated by these deep new revelations. And you know, it's a good thing to want to be closer to God, to understand more about the Bible. But the purpose that we do that is so that we can love people, so that we can tell people about Jesus, because that's how ultimately we love people. Amen. It's not about knowledge. It's about love. It's about God loves people. He doesn't love their sin. Amen. We're not talking about God as all love. We can't have sin in our lives, but God does love people, and we are the ones to show that. But if our aim is not to please God, there's only one other place that we're aiming, and that's ourselves. Our aim is to please me. If I'm not pleasing God, I'm pleasing me in one form or another. It's not the devil. I'm not serving the devil. Ultimately, you're serving yourself. And what it boils down to is pride. If we are not constantly trying to put our eyes and our focus on God, we're becoming prideful. That scripture talks about that knowledge puffs us up. It makes us prideful. Pride causes us to lack in love. It causes us to lack. I won't go into it, but in that story, you know the story of the Pharisee as he's praying next to this other guy, and the Pharisee is talking to God about all these great things. Thank you, God, that I'm such a wonderful Pharisee. And then there's a guy right next to him who's praying, God, I am such a low, dirty sinner. Forgive me. You know, that Pharisee had an opportunity there. He could have, you know, the guy's praying to God and he gets up from the altar. That Pharisee could have invited him to a small group. He could have said, hey, man, I noticed you were crying out. Is there anything I can pray with you about? Hey, you know what? I know a lot about the Bible. Can I share it with you? But no, that there was pride there. It totally distracted him and he missed an opportunity. Who knows what could have happened? Amen. Who knows what we miss because we get so distracted instead of keeping our eyes and our aim on God. Pride not only causes us to lack in love, it'll cause you to give up on people. What a horrible thing for a church, for a Christian to say, well, there's nothing that can be done for that person. Look at how bad they are. Listen, God saved me. He can save anybody. Amen. And we know that, and we have that in our hearts, and we have that gospel in us. But we can't be so prideful, and that's where the compassion that we should have is Christians. When we are prideful, that compassion becomes cynicism. Cynical, where you can't praise God during a song service because all we're thinking about is something we don't like, or we can't give in an offering for whatever reason, or we can't accept the preaching, or we can't accept God because cynicism and pride are just puffing us up. We don't want to be in that place. I'll share this last scripture and then we're going to close and pray. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 2 through 7, it says, if I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans, and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor, and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. That means every sacrifice that we make, every good intention we have, everything we do that we might even do it with a good heart. If we don't love, if we don't have a heart for people, if we don't ask God, if you don't have that, ask God. If you take nothing else from this, ask God. God, I'm mean, I'm cynical. Forgive me. Would you put a compassion in my heart again? Would you remind me where I come from and that somebody could have given up on me, but thank God you didn't. And you just begin to ask God and he changes you. Amen. And look at verse 7. This is what real love is. And this is love in marriage. This is love loving people. This is discipleship. This is how we disciple. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. What if we were a church that would continue to fight with for people? Amen. We continue to love people. When the devil brings distraction and we get this low spirit and it, oh, woe is me. What if we said, no, I'm putting my focus on God and I'm putting him first. In part because I know he has a plan and I want to reach out and let God use me to see somebody saved. That's how we build a church. Amen. Love is what builds a church, not knowledge. Love. Love of us right here. Amen. Pastor Paul has a lot of love, but he can only love so many people in a day. Amen. But this group right here, we can win this city. We can win the world. That's how we win the world for Christ. That's how it becomes possible, is we let God lead us to do that. Amen. So the question that we get as we get down and pray tonight, do I appreciate God? Do I appreciate where I'm at and realize, wow, I have it pretty good. Look at this warm building with the lights. Somebody came before me and turned the lights on, and somebody practiced music so I didn't have to. Somebody prepared this sermon so I didn't have to. What a good, amen, we got it good. Amen. Do I see the sinner? Do I see people and have a heart that reaches out and think, how can I share the gospel? Or how can I pray for that person? How can I encourage that person? Amen. Is my focus on God, or is it just about me tonight? I'm talking to myself too, by the way. Amen. These are the things, if you don't already have something to pray about that. God, re-aim my focus on you. Amen. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to close and give you time to pray tonight. You know, this is a basic sermon. It's basic. Love God and love people. Those are the two important commandments, the Bible says. Love God and love people. And we can't do either of those things on our own. We're not capable of loving God without God. Amen. He gives us the ability to love Him. He gives us the ability to serve Him. How are we going to make it past today? How are we going to make it between now and Sunday? It's by God's grace. It's by us putting our hearts and our minds on Him and saying, God, fill me tonight. Strengthen me. Equip me with what I need. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't have a relationship with Jesus. That's what I want for you tonight. Religion does nothing. Saying I'm a Christian means nothing if I do not have a personal relationship between me and Jesus. It's separate from my wife's relationship. It's separate from my pastor's relationship. This is between me and God, where I am totally reliant and dependent on Him. And the Bible says, if we come before Him that way, He'll forgive you of your sins. All these things that you carry, these burdens that you carry, can be forgiven. They can be taken, the Bible says. Maybe you've never experienced a love like that. I want to tell you, tonight is your night. With every head bowed and every eye closed, all over this room, I want to ask, how many would be honest before God and say, I need to receive Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior? Just slip your hand up. God bless you. I see these hands. This is between you and God. I'm not going to call you out. This is just you saying, God, I need to get my relationship with you right tonight. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe you are a Christian. You've had a relationship with God, but you know that you need to get right. You've made some mistakes. You're not in God's will or whatever the case may be. And tonight you just say, you know what? I need to come back like that prodigal son. I need to come back and repent and get right with God. If that's you, all over, how many? You just say, that's me tonight. God sees it. Amen. God sees your hands. He sees your hearts. And He's like that prodigal son's father. He wants to welcome you back. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to lead us in a prayer. Those that raised your hands and you want to be saved, just say, Dear Jesus, I give you my heart right now. I don't want to be about myself. I want to be about you. I want a relationship with you. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of all my sins. Tonight, I pray that I would be a new person, that you would be the Lord of my life, and that you would help me to live for you. Take every sin, take every habit, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to give you time to pray tonight. It's early. We're not going to be in a rush here. Pray for as long as you like. I'll come up here when the time is right and we'll close it out. If you need to go before that, you can. But let's take time. If you're in this room, let's take time and let's get before God and pray and let Him aim your prayers. Let's get our focus back on God. Amen. So we'll take some time here and then we'll close it out in just a little bit. You can pray down at this altar, at your seat. Find a place between you and God where you can pray and get a hold of God tonight.
Thanks again for joining us. If you like this message, subscribe to our podcast channel for more episodes. We would love it if you would rate it.